we will elect to take a moment of silence.
Welcome to Geeks Without God with Tim Wick, Nick Glover, and Molly Glover.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
This week on Geeks Without God, we are talking about voting. That's right. It's almost time to go to the polls if you're in the United States. If you're not, you don't know what the fuck we're talking about. Sorry about that.
We're geeks. We're geeks. We're geeks without God. We're geeks. We're geeks. We're geeks without God. We're geeks. Geeks without God.
Welcome to Geeks Without God. I'm your host, Tim Wick. I'm joined, as always, by my co-host, Molly Glover.
Democracy.
And Nick Glover.
Ka-chunk.
Like those old voting machines with the little levers. Yeah. I remember going there and going into like voting machines with my parents when I was too young to vote. Mm-hmm. And they'd have those levers. I thought they were the greatest thing ever. I was pretty pissed that by the time I voted, I had to just scribble paper in little circles with a bunch of bullshit there. Anyway, speaking of bullshit, it's almost time to vote in an election. And we want to talk about things like how you vote. For those of you that might be your first time, it is October 15th when this episode goes up. That is the deadline for pre-registration in the state of Minnesota, which is important if you want to pre-register before you go in to go vote. Now, you don't have to pre-register in Minnesota. We allow same-day registration.
You don't need ID.
You don't need ID. You need proof of address.
Yep, or someone to vouch for you.
Someone that's registered in that, like a neighbor.
If you have a utility bill with your name, that's great. Even if you don't have that, I believe if you have somebody who vouches that you live at an address,
you can print
the
bill.
Registered. Yep.
Yeah. And Minnesota makes it remarkably easy to register for votes, to vote. And there are those who would think that's a problem. I personally actually think that there should be fewer obstacles to vote than just about anything else in our country.
You can do it online still today while you're listening to this. As long as it is before 11:59 p.m. on October 15th, you can still go register online.
And you can register. You can request a ballot, a mail-in ballot. I believe if you go online to the Secretary of State website for the state of Minnesota, you can get that information as well. There are a lot of ways to vote.
Well, also in Minnesota, we have automatic voter registration now. So if you've gone to the DVS, we don't have DMV, we have DVS.
Driver and Vehicle Services.
Every time you've gone to renew your license or your state ID, a verification starts through that, and it should automatically register you to vote now. You have to opt out.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, you have to not want to vote. And if you don't want to vote, I would say you shouldn't opt out of being registered to vote. Just don't vote.
Yeah. If you don't want to vote, I would like to know why you don't want to vote, because I'm just going to say you should vote. You need to vote. It is an important thing. I don't believe in not voting as a protest. I'm sorry. Yeah. I don't believe in that. I think that's a coward's way out. The rest of us have to pick, and we don't necessarily want to, but you need to go vote.
I love that some countries have compulsory voting. Mm-hmm. Australia, I think, is one of note. You can get out of voting if you are willing to like write an essay with a compelling reason explaining why.
In Australia, you're talking about?
Yep. Or you can pay a fine.
I would want to vote, but I'd still want to write an essay just, for the writing exercise. I think if I was in Australia, I would write, actually, I would like to vote, but if I didn't want to vote, this is why.
Now, the question is, could you get it done by the deadline?
I could, but it would be close. Yeah. It would be close.
It's just a two-word essay. It just says, Arnar.
you could certainly, if you don't plan to vote, you could let us know. I would say we are all pro-vote. I think you need to get out there and vote. I think even if the problem with this democracy, we don't have a parliamentary voting system. We don't have multiple choices. We have two choices. And in most cases, neither of those choices are perfect.
Yeah.
And you're trying to decide between one choice that, in my opinion, is completely horrible and one choice that is not my favorite.
We barely have a democracy. I mean, to be honest,
it's our options generally are literal fascism or big,
status quo.
Yeah, somewhere
do nothing.
In the vague neighborhood of the status quo. Maybe a little bit up, maybe a little bit down.
Yeah.
So, people who if they actually got together and did what they said they believed in would be great. But always seem too afraid to do that, in my personal opinion.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But the opposing side, not nuts about. But I mean, you should all be aware of where we kind of stand politically.
I don't. No surprises.
Maybe this
there.
Is their very first time to the podcast.
It's true.
We should let you know we don't vote Republican.
Yeah.
Pretty much across the board.
I think that it should be especially. I mean, I'm not saying there aren't conservative atheists out there, or even that atheism necessarily skews progressive, leftist, or liberal. But
I mean, it does.
Well, right, and more to the point, religiosity skews conservative.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Like more than non-belief skews progressive. Belief skews conservative, and so. I mean, there's one political party out there that is like leveraging faith in a way that is, you know, especially gross and hateful.
Yeah, and I think if you're an atheist or a non-believer, and most of the people who listen to our podcast are not all, but many of them are. If you're an atheist or a non-believer, then one party in this country ought to be more concerning. Because they seem more interested in having religion control the lives of those who are not religious.
I would argue if you are a believer who listens to our show, and there are a few of them out there, that you also are not wanting that party to gain control because they aren't actual Christians.
Yeah.
They don't care about Jews, and they absolutely don't care about anybody of any other faith than that.
How rich is the person?
There you go. How rich is the but like for
how
real
white
like
is the
they're
person?
they're currently, I would argue, is not any conservative politician out there who seems to have the actual best interests of the Christian faith.
No.
At heart.
You'd think they'd vote in favor of more money for FEMA with two hurricanes decimating the South.
Right. Or
if that was something that was important to
feeding
them.
Feeding the hungry, housing the unhoused.
Just anything just that Jesus said at all.
Social services to protect those who are the least among us, all that stuff. You know,
The Bible stuff. That's fair.
All the communist shit that Jesus said.
Yeah.
So you're going to get out and vote. What gets you excited about voting? Is there anything that makes you that turns you on when it goes to the maybe not in a sexual way, but you know what I mean?
No.
That gets you excited about going to the ballot.
Yeah. I think, you know, we mentioned it briefly before, but I think the candidate change made me mm-hmm. more excited to vote for sure. I think in a less specific sense, since moving back to Minneapolis, Molly and I we vote in a park.
Community center.
Sure.
And we get up a little bit early and we take the dogs on a walk down there. It's like 3/4 of a mile away, give or take. And we take turns voting while the other one stands outside with the dogs. Mm-hmm. And like all our neighbors are the people running the place. Yep. Like when we voted for
in the primary,
it, like 6 out of 7 people there were at our neighborhood block party, I think.
Sure.
And we take turns voting with the dogs, and the dogs get all excited.
They each get a vote because they are people.
and then we walk back home and, you know, breakfast and coffee and all that. But it's a nice little, you know, early morning, get it out of the way ritual.
I've always preferred to vote on election day. There's just something about it. I like the energy. I like the sticker.
Yeah.
We voted absentee in 2020, like, you know, pretty much everybody.
Sure. Yeah.
But I will say that's not something, and we could have kept doing it. I think there was one other year where Nick was like, we could keep doing it. And I was like, I want to go. I don't like it.
We did it because we didn't want to vote in the mega church.
Right.
After 2020, we did it that
we were gone after that.
Oh, yeah. We must have done it before that because
we moved during the pandemic, didn't you?
Yeah, we had
2021.
In Eden Prairie, we had to vote in a mega church.
Yep.
which
the
was
mega church, the Grace mega church that we went to for right, that one.
They probably were like, well, God protects us, so we don't need to wear masks or anything like that.
It's fucking terrible.
But I like Election Day. I like the buzz of it. I've always liked watching the returns come in ever since I was a kid. I was a very politically active child. My family was Republicans. So at 10, I was also a Republican and very excited that George Bush won.
Wow.
My family is now all Democrats because the Tea Party is what turned my family away from the Republican Party to a man. Even my grandpa, who died in 2006, was like, saying like, well, I don't know who I'm going to vote for, but I'll tell you, it's not going to be any of these wackadoos. And my mom voted for Obama in 2008, which she was really surprised about, but she said that she thought Romney was awful and didn't want to vote for him. And
now your mom's woke.
And now my mom is woke.
Well, that's great. Congratulations on having a woke mom.
My mom is Blue MAGA now. She's the fierce. She's the other end. She's the proof that horseshoe theory is real is what she is. But no, like I like watching returns come in. One thing that I think is disappointing ever since 2000 is that now we don't know who the president is, no matter how late you stay up. Oh, it doesn't matter.
We're not going
to
know.
You used to know. And I feel bad. Kids who are all these young friends I have, I mean, they're not even all that young anymore, but they're like, it's like, oh, you don't know what it was like. We used to vote and you'd stay up all night and then you'd find out in the morning, I guess, maybe,
which
right? The paper would say.
Interesting, like, given the technology ought to allow us to know faster.
And now there's just endless recounts and fights and you never know until like late November, early December now.
Yeah. We'll suspect. We'll have a good idea, but we won't know for sure. I think the thing, you know, and I certainly was not, I'm always excited to vote. And I think the important thing that I always remember is the presidential election, when there isn't somebody of a Trump nature involved, doesn't necessarily impact the day-to-day lives of most people the way the local elections do. So I get way more into the local elections. I get way more into the judge elections, because in the judge elections, it's like you go and look for the fuckers who are like in their thing that on their little web page that they made. They talk about how they want to hang up the Ten Commandments in their judges' chambers, and you're like, oh, well, I'm going to vote against this motherfucker. And I get excited about that, because that's where I actually think that your vote has a tendency to make more of a difference. But I'm not going to lie that I'm pretty excited that I get to vote for a woman of color as president of the United States, and maybe hopefully have that woman of color become president of the United States, maybe have our governor, who I'm more positive than negative on. Again, nobody's perfect when you're in a situation like this, but I like him on most issues. And I'm excited that guy could be our vice president, and maybe someday, if he's our vice president now, could potentially be running for president. I'd be pretty excited about that. So that makes me a little bit more excited to vote than I was before, picking between two old white guys.
The thing about judge races that's always a bummer to me is that most of them are uncontested, and you don't actually get to pick for anybody. Like, so many of them are just like, this guy, no one's running against her, you know, no one. And so that's always a little bit like, oh, like you flip over that ballot and you're like, here we go, now who? Yeah. Like, oh, well, I'm just gonna not answer. I'm not going to vote for anyone then, because I don't know anything about this. Yeah. I will say, in Minnesota, we have a, political journalist named Naomi Kritzer.
Yeah.
And she is amazing. She writes.
She's an author.
She's an author. Yep. She's got a couple of books that I really love. Catfishing on the Cat Net are both really good. I think there's two of them. But she always puts out a comprehensive, like, who would I vote for?
Voter guide.
Here's my ballot, you know, and she runs everything down. She provides a lot of links. She provides a lot of context. She'll link you to all the stories that she's referencing so you can go read them for yourself and you're not just taking her word for it. And I always look forward to that, because I don't want to say that I vote whatever she tells me, but 9 times out of 10, I'm like, Naomi Kritzer makes sense here. Like, she's informing me on things I didn't know about.
Yeah.
And so that's, I always look for that. If you're in Minnesota, I highly recommend, especially if you're in the Twin Cities, I highly recommend looking for her information.
Yeah. I mean, at the very least, she's good if you want to be able to go and find websites for some of these people, especially when you get into some of the really far down ballot races.
Yep.
Also, I think in Minnesota, you can sometimes, in many states, obviously California can be the worst for this, but there'll be a ballot initiative and you won't have any idea that it was coming up until you're looking at the ballot before you go vote. And you're like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah.
And NAMA does a great job of breaking down. This is what this ballot initiative says. This is what you're voting for or against.
I like that in her write-up, she says things like, this person doesn't really have any information on their website, or like this candidate doesn't, they registered a domain and they didn't even bother putting up a website and I couldn't find any information on them. So my guess is as good as yours, but that's a red flag to me.
Mm-hmm.
Like she, again, like Molly, like you said, she makes her recommendation and she explains why, but I appreciate that when there's no information to be had, not only does she say that really clearly, but also she notes how that actually does still influence her recommendations and her decision to vote. It's great.
Sometimes with ballot initiatives, you see things like, you'll see a sign that says vote yes for kids and another one that's like vote no for schools. And you're like,
but
wait, what?
But like, what?
What is it? Because everyone wants to frame their version as why it's a good thing. Like when it was the marriage initiative ballot amendment on our end of things before same-sex marriage was made federally legal, when they made it legal at the state level, and I saw a lot that were like, you know, vote no, you know, for equality, but then also vote yes to save marriage. Now, if you didn't know, you might think, well, I want to make marriage for everyone. I want to save marriage. So I think I should vote yes. Yeah. I think, yes, people should get married if they're gay. And it's like, nope, this is actually a no vote. This was a no vote on that one. Yeah, it's
yeah, and that confusing. Was they were trying to constitutionalize discrimination effectively, basically put in the Constitution that same-sex marriage was not legally
make it double illegal.
Acceptable. Yeah, make it a double plus illegal. Yeah. And that failed, and that's great. So I think those initiatives actually are places where I think it really is important to be informed, and where you really do need to get out and vote. Even if you're like, I have no idea how you can leave the presidential ballot blank. I mean, there are issues that I'm not even... I'm not going to try and wade into the Israeli-Palestinian issue because I do not feel like any sort of expert over it. But I know that that is an issue that is, for some people, a one-issue vote. And yet I still think if you're given an option between the two people we can vote for, the decision is obvious.
Yeah.
And should be obvious. It may not be for some people. And even if you can't bring yourself to vote for one of those two people, there are people on that ballot that it's going to make a difference. In Minnesota, it made a huge difference the last time we were voting for the legislature here. The changes that have happened in Minnesota over the last few years in terms of legalized marijuana, in terms of the change of the state flag, which no matter what anybody else says, I think is fucking cool.
Just the fact that we had the trifecta. Like none of that would have gotten done if we didn't have the trifecta. So that's important to keep, and I'm really hoping we keep it.
Yeah, it's Peggy Flanagan's going to make a great governor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Super excited about that.
Yeah. I know some people that like go out to bars and stuff like that to watch the returns.
Sure,
we used to
as
do
like
that.
A as a public
when
event
I live in Chicago.
And I don't. I mean, like, I'm not a big bar and public space goer these days, anyway. But even if that weren't the case, I know that doesn't appeal to me right now. Like, that's not something that I want.
That's a
do.
Young person's thing, right? Like when I was in my 20s and we were all hanging out and like that was a lot more fun, you know, but we did it that one year for, it would have been 2004 when Obama was running for Senate in Chicago for Illinois Senator. And so that was one that we went out and everyone was really excited about because he was really energizing and everyone was so excited about him. And then I moved back home and here he was running for president. And it was fucking cool because it was like, oh, you guys, this guy's great. You're going to love it. We got to go watch. We should go watch him talk if we can. And I know we went to the DNC because the DNC was here that year.
Yeah, we did.
So we went and saw him and accept the nomination. And we watched him give his speech. And man, that he's so good at speeches. It was great.
You've gotten to vote for him. If you include primaries, Molly, I think you voted for Obama 5 times.
I think so. That sounds right.
And you will never be able to vote for him again.
That's true.
So,
well, not for president.
Certainly not. Well, once you've been president, you're pretty much done. I mean, look at Jimmy Carter. He's 100 and he hasn't done shit since
then. We have no idea what new horrifying contests might arise in the future that one might be forced to vote for.
Jimmy Carter hasn't done shit, you know, in the terms of government, but that motherfucker's still building houses, I think.
They defeated the guinea worm. Yeah. Like, almost completely eradicated the guinea worm.
Please understand, that was satire.
Okay.
Yeah, Jimmy Carter has done a great deal, just not in an elected office.
Honestly,
yeah.
I would say he's probably done more than any other president in the history of presidents. If you want to add it all up together for the net benefit of the globe,
yeah,
absolutely.
I mean, God knows, like, Lincoln and Kennedy did shit as ex-presidents, for instance. Garfield, McKinley.
Did a few things as president, but honestly, like, in the sum total of people affected, lives fixed,
yeah, sure,
net benefit good.
Lincoln, notoriously lazy
ex-president.
Post-presidency.
He didn't do jack all.
Nothing.
He basically slept across the country on a train.
He did.
Must be nice.
Yeah, just eyes closed, laying down.
The
whole way across the country.
Like,
people
the
were waving
War
at him.
So
people
exhausting.
Came to see him.
I
and
need
they were
a
like,
break.
Yeah, people came out. They were like, there's the president, and he didn't do anything.
Still wearing his hat.
Just laying there.
Yeah, I mean, Jimmy Carter, just like last week, turned 100.
Yeah.
Yep. He's been in home hospice for like a year, and there's something that won't let that man die. We're all going to be dead, and Jimmy Carter will still be in home hospice in Georgia.
Nuclear apocalypse happens. Jimmy Carter rises from the waste, claws his way out,
and saves the
builds
universe.
A house.
So, I mean, like, I know there's not a ton to talk about. Just, you know, elections cool, voting great,
yeah.
Democracy good. Yeah. Let's try to keep it. I would like to keep the shredded vestiges of what we have that we call democracy, please.
I like, in Minneapolis, we get for local elections, we get ranked choice.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Which is really great. I wish we had that more widespread. I wish we had that on a state level, or, you know, for the whole country, it would be phenomenal. But I think that, I mean, I don't want to get into a whole thing about, like, voting for a third party or whatever, but it's most effective if you're doing it in a small and local election. And the reason it's not super effective on a national scale is because it's not being done on a local level enough.
Right.
And
long as the Electoral College is a thing, a third party candidate is never going to be able to get the electoral votes to be a president, to win as president. So you've sent no message. You haven't sent a message that anybody's listening to.
And I voted third party both in 1996 and in the year 2000. I voted for Nader. But
I did in 2002.
I would never vote third party again because in the year 2000, I voted for Nader. and we all know how that went.
For president, I wouldn't. I'm open to the option for non-presidential
absolutely
candidates,
certainly if you have ranked choice voting, yeah, that it becomes a viable choice.
It's like today phone rang and I answered it, and it was the DFL, which, for those who don't live in Minnesota, it's the Democratic Farmer and Labor
party
basically. That's our Democrats it's DFL.
Yeah.
And this very young sounding person was like, I'm just calling to see, you know, do you have a plan for voting? I'm like, yeah, voting on election day. And he's like, okay, and are you voting for all DFL endorsed candidates? And I'm like, well, I mean, generally I'll say I'm generally voting Democrat, but I'm not voting DFL no matter what regardless, because that's not how I vote. And he's like, oh, how do you vote? And I'm like, well, I look at what the candidates say, and then I decide based on that, not just based on whether or not they're from one party or the other.
Yeah, I don't vote for a party. I vote for candidates.
Yeah. And he's like, interesting. And I was just like, interesting. Okay. Well.
I think I got the same call. I think you heard me when I was on the phone.
I did. I when I got the call, I was like, oh, this must have been what they're calling Nick about.
I think I got the same one.
Which is, you know, it's fine, but it was just very much like a, you know, they didn't say, are you voting for Harris? They didn't say, are you voting for Democrat candidates? Because there are candidates who run in the primaries, only one person gets the DFL endorsement right. in the primaries, right? So, and that's not always who wins the primary, but generally it tends to be.
Right.
And so, yes, right now, everybody on the ticket that I'm likely to vote for is DFL because they ran under the Democratic primary and won it. So, yes. But at the same time, it was just such a like... That is something that I actually mentioned to Nick the other day that I don't like is that, you know, they'll say, are you voting red or are you voting blue? And it just distills it down to such a binary choice of, are you with us or against us?
Right.
Or which of the two options? And they don't go party by or race by race or anything. It's just, are you a blue voter or a red voter?
Right. And that, and you know, my answer would be, I'm not a red voter, but that doesn't mean that you're guaranteed I'm going to be a blue voter. It depends on like, I think a great example, Ilhan Omar, which is the representative for your district,
yep,
not for mine,
she surely is.
Not for mine, but she was facing a primary opponent who called themselves a Democrat.
Mm-hmm.
Don Samuels.
But wasn't
no.
really.
No.
He called himself a Democrat, but he was a conservative at best. And not even like a conservative Democrat. Like he'd yeah. run under other yeah, he's yeah. he sucks.
And so if he'd won the DFL primary, he would have been the blue quote unquote mm-hmm. candidate.
That's true.
Yeah.
And I don't think either of you would have voted for him under that. You wouldn't have voted for the Republican.
No.
But
it wouldn't matter because a Republican can't win in our district
right.
for
so
that.
He but would win anyway.
He would.
Yeah. Don Samuels is a piece of shit. And yeah. and I am... The last time he challenged Ilhan Omar, she won barely. But she didn't really campaign against him either. She didn't put in a ton of effort. And she squeaked it out and she got reelected. This year she campaigned and she beat him by a larger margin.
Handily.
And I hope he just fucks off and doesn't yeah. try it again because he's a piece of shit.
Well, and in general, challengers like that, it's a law of diminishing returns, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If he barely gets beat the first time and gets beat by more the second time, he's going to lose by even more the
he's
third
gonna
time.
He's going to have harder time raising money, yeah. getting yeah. people to back him, getting
people
the
like, dude,
donors.
You're a two-time loser. Yep. Why would I give a shit?
But like it raises an interesting point because I think that, you know, something that we lose sight of with all of this is that we are being catered to as though we are on two different teams and it's just seeing which team wins, right? And that
yeah.
that's kind of frustrating because that doesn't leave any room for third parties, even way down ballot.
Like conceptually, you know? Doesn't leave room for
and,
them.
Right. And it's like somebody, I think this was earlier this year, like really early when they were doing a lot of the, you get those push polls that are so obvious where yeah. they're like, well, like, who are you voting for? You're like, or if the election was held today, who would you vote for? And you're like, Joe Biden. And they're like, okay, well, what if I told you? And then they say a bunch of
Joe
shit.
Joe Biden
that,
ate a baby.
Yeah, they say a bunch of shit that sounds, it's so inflammatory. And you're like, uh-huh. And it's like, well, now who would you vote for? I'm like, Joe Biden. And they're like, even though we said all these things, it's like, yeah, because those things are so obviously like slanted. It just,
yeah, that's,
you know,
what you're saying is so obviously a lie.
Yeah.
That you can't.
Or even just
me.
Like, it's just, it's so colored. Like it, yeah. when they were doing the Don Samuels, Ilhan Omar stuff, it was like, what if we told you that Ilhan Omar like funded a bill that said this and that? And I'm like, I like that bill. And it's like, okay. Like, but. And
she said mean things about cops. Would you still vote for her?
Please.
So can I
even
vote
harder.
Twice? Yeah. Like, yeah. So in that poll one time, they were like, how do you identify Republican, Democrat, or Independent? And I was like, I reject all three of these choices. And they're like, well, you have to pick one of them. And they're like, you're voting for Biden. So you would say, like, you're not a Democrat? I'm like, no, I'm not a Democrat. I don't identify as a Democrat. So I guess... Independent, I guess, because I'm not picking one of those two. And it's like, and that is the thing is, it's like, I'm not a Democrat. You know why? I don't run for office. I don't belong right. to the Democratic Party. We have to pick in Minnesota for primaries. Like you have to vote.
Yeah,
you can't vote in both. You have to vote in either the Democratic primary or the Republican primary. So I've only ever voted in the Democratic primaries, but I would not call myself a Democrat because that is my mother. That sounds like somebody who's like all in on everything. I will hear nothing against them, you know, kind of a thing. And, you know, you try to bring up a lot of this Palestine stuff and you try to bring up a lot of the fact that we spent so much money on bombs and we're not spending very much money on FEMA and like other hurricane relief. And it's like, no, 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 that doesn't matter. I don't want to hear about that. I'm a Democrat. And that is the kind of stuff that drives me nuts.
It's a political party. It's not a cult or religion.
It shouldn't be.
One of them is a cult. And that is a problem.
They both have cultish behavior.
Sure.
There are members of both parties that treat it like a cult and that owe them their undying fealty. And that's a huge problem. It doesn't matter who you're voting for. Zealotry is a problem.
I think the zealotry from one party comes from the top and not as much from the other.
That's fair. But there's a lot of Republicans I know who have felt incredibly left behind. And it started with the Tea Party and now they're
do something about it.
That's the thing is like all they want. They feel like they don't have anything they can do about it. Cause it's just like what am I supposed to do about the fact that the Democrats keep giving money to Israel? What am I supposed to do about that? Fucking nothing. I have to keep voting for them. And so they feel like they feel like I have to keep voting Republican because I don't agree with half of the shit that the Democrats believe in financially. And so I feel like I love voting. I love the elections time. It's a very exciting time. I am lucky that it doesn't fill me with a ton of existential dread that makes me feel ill, but it is exhausting to think about how penned in we are for choices.
Yeah, that's fair. I still am pretty excited that we could actually have a president who's not a white dude.
Yeah.
I'm very excited by that possibility.
I think it's damn near likely.
I think it's close.
I really don't think it is.
I'm excited at the prospect
of having... Let's go, Swifties.
I'm excited at the prospect of having someone... a vice president, but still someone in that high of an office that is not filthy rich.
That'd be great.
Somebody who's younger than 65.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sounds great.
Yeah.
Both are older than me, but by very little.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Walz is not like he's been criticized for not being wealthy at this point. And I'm like, bro, like he's the closest thing to like one of us that you're ever going to get. In a vice president or presidential candidate, he's the least wealthy person.
It's the real deal.
To run for one of those two positions in my lifetime.
Yeah.
At least.
Yeah.
And I think that has an incredible amount of merit.
That's kind of cool. That's kind of cool. But
the idea that there could be young people. Relative, but still, that we wouldn't have 80-year-olds. God, that sounds amazing.
I long for the day we have a president that wasn't taught cursive in school.
That's going to be a while yet. My kids were taught cursive in school, but they haven't used it since. Yeah.
Your kids were taught cursive in school?
They were taught in elementary school. They learned cursive.
Huh. Basically, I'm looking forward to having a president younger than me, I think.
There you
go. That's all
I agree. Yeah. I agree with that. All right, so voting. I think the point is vote.
Yeah.
We are happy if you want to ask us online how to vote. If you're having trouble figuring it out, hell, we'll help you figure it out. If you're in Connecticut, we don't know shit about voting in Connecticut, but we'll help you figure it out.
Yep.
We'll get your ass to the polls. If you are not from America and you listen, hey, great. Thanks for listening in. We're very excited. We'd love to hear about how you vote. How is voting different for you in Australia, where you are expected to vote? Have you written an essay explaining why you're not going to vote, or do you actually vote in your elections? This is it's an exciting time to be alive, even if it is a weird time to be alive, and perhaps even a little scary at certain points in the process. Get out and vote. We're happy to help. Thanks for listening. If you would like to send in answers to your 5 questions, we'd be happy to read them on the air. We're excited by the prospect because it doesn't happen very often.
You could elect to do that, but you won't. You won't even write me an essay about why you're not doing it.
We would read that.
You just
on the
won't
air.
Do it.
We would read that too. So if you're following us, if you're a Patreon supporter, please remember you get these episodes sometimes weeks early, in a few cases minutes, but most of the time you get at least a week. So that's great. Thanks for listening to us, everybody. I hope you have a great week. Please remember, get out and vote.
Bye.
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 Pimento's voting for RFK Jr.
Bad dog.
Come on, buddy.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Until next time, you can find us blogging at geekswithoutgod.com. You can follow us on Twitter at geekswithoutgod, and you can even like us on Facebook.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Oh, and sure. I'm seeing double.